You're listening to the Monday morning program with Mufti Zubair Bayat Saab, Damat Barakatuh. Mufti Saab joins us on the line. Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh. The line cutting on us in that last moment, and we're going to get Mufti Saab back on in a short while, and then we'll take the discussion further, inshallah, shortly on the program. If you have any comments, any contributions that you'd like to make, you can send them through to 072-786-1548. Or the WhatsApp number, and that is the WhatsApp number, or the direct call in on 011-854-1548. That is how you can contribute to the program this morning. We will shortly be getting in touch again with Mufti Saab, and then we'll continue with the program. Prior to this, there was the very interesting book review on the French resistance, the resistance from within France. We do have Mufti Saab with us on the line. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you on this Monday morning, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, I don't think it's much of a blue Monday, shukr.
Alhamdulillah.
And on your side, Mufti Saab?
All well, alhamdulillah, we have a bright and sunny day here in Indonesia. And alhamdulillah, right, enjoying the much warmer weather these days.
Okay, yes, yeah, alhamdulillah, in Sikau Lake in Durban also it's nice and bright and sunny. After good rains this weekend, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
We praise Allah Ta'ala for the wonderful rains that we've been experiencing here recently.
Has the rain done anything in terms of falling in the catchment areas to alleviate the drought? Is there still a great need for water?
From what I've been hearing and reading, it appears that, alhamdulillah, the dams are filling up to quite an extent. Not as they ought to be, in keeping with previous records, but alhamdulillah, situation is improving. And as we're going into the summer months, and since we have our rainy season in summer, we hope, inshallah ta'ala, that there will be better rains coming in the summer, and may Allah ta'ala make it beneficial rain so that, our dams can get full, and, our basic need of survival water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for the people of this country.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, in the country, in the context that we live in, and the very unequal society, with people on the right at the bottom in terms of facing poverty, and on the other hand, others having wealth. This creates a situation where you have violent crimes within our country. There can be no justification for that, but these are some of the reasons behind this. Now, what we see in terms of patterns, that we have a wave of crime and then subsides, things return to normality, and then we have again, and then people start talking about this. There has been some tragic events that occurred in Indonesia over the weekend, which really rocked the community. On the topic of crime, Mufti Saab, what sort of insight can Mufti Saab share with us, some guidelines on this particular topic?
Yes, well, I think we've touched on a very, very important topic. It's a very sensitive topic also at the same time. The subject of crime and the situation in the country regarding crime and how to tackle it, how to deal with it, how to cope with it. As you rightly said, Mufti Saab, there can be no justification for crime. No matter what it may be, there's no justification for crime, and particularly violent crime. There may be situations where there's extreme poverty, and in the event of extreme poverty, you might find some instances of petty crime, where people steal little things, food items and little things. Obviously, that's not correct, it's not right, but it's not violent crime, where people's lives are taken and people are killed and murdered and people are raped and people are maimed and people are crippled and so on. So, what we're saying is that there's absolutely no justification for violent crime at all. Neither is the justification for crime as a whole. However, as I mentioned, there may be certain circumstances, very pressing circumstances in some countries where due to extreme poverty, people are compelled or by circumstances just to steal some basic things, what we call petty crime. We find that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time when there was a famine, then he suspended the hudud, the had of the cutting of the hand for the crime of stealing, because at that time people had become desperate. So, you know, there may have been some other deterrent that was instituted at that time, perhaps ta'zir, where it is left to the discretion of the qazi to decide what type of punishment is to be meted out. But for that duration, the actual, you know, punishment which is promulgated of cutting the hand, that was suspended for that period of time. So nevertheless, the thing is that we are facing a very dire situation in this country. Unfortunately, many have become victims of violent crime. I don't think there is a family that can say that they have not witnessed somewhere in their family, close family or distant family, an incident of crime. Many have lost their loved and dear ones in crime. this incident that happened in Indonesia, very heartbreaking. It has made waves across the country. And the marhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him and all the marhumin who have been killed by criminals, grant them the darja of shahada, of martyrdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them maghfirat and forgiveness, and Allah ta'ala elevate their stages and look after their near and dear ones. I saw the little clip, Mufti Sahib, that was made by Radio Islam.
Jeez.
You know, at the time of janaza of the brother who passed away in Indonesia.
It has circulated quite widely, and the brother was quite well known in the personality, well known personality in Indonesia because of his contribution to the community, and in terms of also, you know, sacrificing for the upliftment of the community. Now, Mufti Sahib, when we look at you know, issues from a Islamic point of view, one is what we do in terms of physically getting involved, and the other is in terms of spirituality. And we, from a Islamic point, never separate the two. So, on the one hand, we need to continue fighting it on a literal level. On the other hand, we also need to turn towards our amal.
Yes, indeed, Mufti Sahib, well said. That is actually the correct approach, the holistic approach that we need to take. Where on one side we should be adopting all the means of protection from a spiritual point of view that are available to us, reading the Ayatul Kursi after every Farz Salah, and also at the time of fear to read Ayatul Kursi and to read the other verses of the Holy Quran, and to read those du'as that were taught by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for protection. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. And hamim la yunsarun, when been attacked by somebody. These are those things that have been taught to us in the form of du'as, which we should definitely adopt, we should learn, and we should practice. And many people have had the experience where through the barakat of the du'as, Allah Ta'ala saved them, and Allah Ta'ala protected them, and the criminals became, you know, what we would say, they became afraid or they became discouraged to go forward with what they had intended to do. I'm not sure if you had seen, Mufti Sahib, the story about the sister in UK. She was walking down a dark lane in one evening. This has been going around, I think, on the social media, and she recited Ayatul Kursi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her, because a few minutes later another girl was molested and killed by that very same person in that lane.
Subhanallah.
And she had seen this person, he was standing on one side, but for some reason he did not attack this girl that went past, the Muslim girl. This is actually, it's doing its rounds on the social media. I'm not sure if you had seen it, Mufti Sahib.
No, unfortunately I didn't get to see that.
So what happened is then when this fellow was arrested, then they had an identity parade, and she was called forward to identify him, and she positively identified him. So he was convicted, but she requested that she wanted to ask him a question. So they allowed her to ask the question, and she asked him the question that, you know, I find it strange that you didn't attack me, but you attacked the girl that followed after me. Why was it that you did not attack me? And he spoke and he said, you know, I saw two very large men, very, very fierce looking men, walking behind you when you were passing through, and I had no courage to attack you.
Subhanallah.
And this is the barakah of the Ayatul Kursi. She was reciting Ayatul Kursi for protection when she was walking through, and Allah Ta'ala perhaps appointed two angels, two people in the form of angels to come and protect her and be at her side, so that criminal was actually afraid of attacking her. This story has been circulating on social media. I read it recently quite a few times. It was posted. So Allah Ta'ala knows best the authenticity. I'm not vouching for the authenticity, because these days one has to be very careful what you take from social media. Often there are lots of fabricated things. For example, somebody has attributed something to Maulana Yusuf Motala, Damat Barakatuhum, one of the senior ulama of UK, that he mentioned such and such a thing in his majlis. And the people who are associated with Maulana, they actually, they distance Maulana from all those things that have been attributed to him. And they reject this, that he did not say such things. So we have to be careful what we take from social media. This was a whole program we had did, alhamdulillah, earlier on with Maulana Habib on the subject of the etiquette of social media and the fiqh of social media. And one of the things was always try to authenticate the source of the information. So nevertheless, I'm not in a position to authenticate or reject the source of this information. Allah knows best. But it's not a far-fetched thing, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed such power in Ayatul Kursi, that it is indeed one of the most powerful forms of protection for a human being, especially from enemies, from crime, from criminals. Like in this instance, the criminal was waiting to pounce on any young woman, and there was this young girl walking right under his nose. Allah Ta'ala saved her through the power, the barakat of Ayatul Kursi. So it's not a far-fetched thing, you know, that this incident could be quite a true story. The idea is Ayatul Kursi has got the power of defending one, but provided that it is read with that yaqeen and that conviction. So yes, the one thing that we should look at adopting is the spiritual means, all the du'as, the verses of the Holy Quran, the verses of Surah Yasin, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Other such verses of the Holy Quran, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. حَزْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. These verses are relating to protection and attracting the general assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, along with the du'as and ayats of the Holy Quran, also to give some amount of sadaqah, because sadaqah wards off calamities. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many virtues of sadaqah and charity. And one of the great benefits of sadaqah and charity is that it is dafiul balaya. It wards off and fights off calamities. The calamities do not come near a person who gives sadaqah and gives generously in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the du'as, the charity, the sadaqah, and then of course the next thing is the general du'a in general also is a great protection. Keep making du'a constantly, Allah save us, protect us, Allah save us, protect us. In general, Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil waleed, O Allah protect me like how you protect a little child. So these are some of the du'as and du'as in general that one can make for protection for ourselves and for others. Let's make du'a for other people as well, because it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that when you make du'a for someone, Allah Rabbul Izzat appoints an angel to make du'a for you. The same du'a. And obviously the du'a of the angel is superior to our du'a because they are the sinless creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that covers the spiritual aspect to some extent. And now we speak about the physical side of things, Muftizam.
Yes, so what is there that we can really get involved in? We have these community policing forums, also in terms of, forming groups within our community. And this has been successful in certain areas where they have had night watch groups, where people, there's a roster and nights have been allocated to the men from the area. They participate. We have the situation like in Azadville where the community has been cordoned off, yet there has been crime that has, you know, despite the sealing off with the palisades and all of that. So, in that light?
Just out of curiosity, Mufti Sam, our brother who passed away, was he responding to a call out to a crime scene, or it was just coincidental that he was there at that moment in time?
He was actually responding to a call out. There was another home that was being attacked, and someone had alerted him, and he went in to help, and in the process, he then was
Allah Akbar, what a shahadat.
Subhanallah.
Man qutila duna nafsihi fawa shaheedun, wa man qutila duna malihi fawa shaheedun, wa man qutila duna arzihi fawa shaheedun. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the person who passed away protecting his life is a shaheed. The one who passed away protecting his property is a shaheed. The one who passed away protecting his honor and dignity is a shaheed. And this brother, Allahu Akbar, protecting the life and property of someone else. So this is a high form of shahada. So what it appears is that there had been a crisis call, and was he part of some forum, policing forum, or a neighborhood watch, Mufti Sam?
Yes, he was part of the neighborhood watch.
Also, they do have numbers of people and they do a call out, to whoever is available on the neighborhood watch numbers.
Yes, Ajay.
Okay. So yes, indeed, and perhaps because, would we say that he had foiled the attempted robbery?
Yes, there was, in that sense that the robbery was underway, and with his presence, things then went in a different direction, and there was then exchange that did take place, and eventually the criminals, some of them were caught and some were killed in the combat that did take place after that. So he did play a big role in it, undoubtedly.
Okay, yes. So here we are, we can see that, we're not promoting vigilantism and, taking things out of, going out of bounds and adopting illegal means. But the law recognizes your right to self-defense. And if your life is under threat, like we find our brother now, he went out, he responded to the call. Indeed, he acquired the stage of shahada. It was tragic. He lost his life. But at the same time, as Muslims, we believe that life has been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that much of lifespan. You can't live 1 minute more or less. The good thing in his case for him was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with shahada as the means of his death. He could have passed away on a hospital bed. could have passed away at home. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for him a beautiful death, and that is the death of a shaheed. But at the same time, we will say that his life, his death was not in vain, because he fought the criminals, and from what you're explaining, Mufti Sam, some of the criminals also were killed.
Yes.
Any idea of the number of criminals that were actually killed in this incident?
There were some saying three, some saying four. I'm not sure if the fourth one was taken, that was shot, was taken to hospital, whether he'd also died or not. So it may be three or four criminals that were.
And
there.
Were some of them apprehended or caught?
Yes, there was also one that was apprehended. So there may have been one or two that got away, but some of the details are still sketchy in this regard. But that is an overall picture that some were killed on the scene, some may have lost their life later on, and others got away.
Well, we see that this is a brave Samaritan, as they call them, you know, a brave citizen who took on the criminals. And he fought them. Now, we're not advocating that everybody must do that, but we're also saying that you can see that if, you know, those people who are in the field, those who are adequately trained and so on, if they come forward, then, you know, it's going to strike terror in the hearts of the criminals when they realize that, you know, the public are not soft targets in all instances. There are instances where people are going to fight back. It will strike terror in their hearts, and it will deter them, inshallah. If everybody just takes it lying down, so to say, and they allow them to have a field day, then what's going to happen is that they will become very brazen and emboldened, as they've become now. So, nevertheless, all the structures that are there, the CPF and the neighborhood watches and other such structures, security structures, anti-crime initiatives, we encourage everybody to participate in these initiatives. This is also a means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us in the outward world, so we should adopt those means. And then, of course, one must make sure that our safety, security aspect of our homes and our businesses are proper. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure, you know, you've got proper gates and all of that. You've got locks. You've got alarm system. You've got your panic button. Whatever is, you know, available in terms of the means, and we can afford it, and it's easy for us to adopt it, we should adopt it. Allah Ta'ala has made this world a world of means. And in a world of means, we must adopt what is necessary to adopt. We see the example of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Battle of Uhud, that he went forth with two armors. Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, you are wearing two armors? He said, yes. This was the way of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for added safety and protection from the attacks of the enemies. So, for Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala was the greatest in this universe, nobody could have been a greater mutawakkil and one who had greater trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala than him. For him to have worn not just one armor, but double armor, is an indication of the fact that adopt, you know, as much means as possible, reasonable means for your safety and protection. So therefore I find that some people actually, they use even, you know, a double layer of safety measures and protection. For example, they have one alarm, they might have another alarm as a backup alarm. So all this is within the adoption of the means. So we say from the physical point of view, be very, very alert, be vigilant, keep an eye open. If you suspect anyone or anything, immediately notify people, responsible people. Then we say that join all these forums, because that's going to help to reduce the crime. And we should adopt all the necessary means of protection and make sure that our safety and protection measures are fully in place. And of course then the spiritual aspects as well, which were mentioned earlier on. When we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard and protect us all, the entire Muslim community, the country as a whole, from the scourge of crime and criminals.
Beautiful.
We need to, you know, these kind of incidents require us to put pressure on the Minister of Police and the directors and the officials and the government as a whole, that they should begin to act more firmly and strongly on criminals. You know, we keep hearing they're going to do this and that and the other, but now it's time for action. We need to see swift action. The police intelligence service has to be beefed up. They're going to root the problem, they're going to cut the problem at the root. The intelligence services ought to identify who the criminals are, where they're operating from, and they should be tracked down. Far too many criminals are getting away with impunity. Even the judicial system is lacking in many ways, in that criminals are still going scot-free on little probabilities. They've been set off. The sentences are very disproportionate to the crimes in some instances. And criminals are coming out very quickly from prison. So the criminals are actually beginning to believe that crime pays. And it's a profitable profession, so to say. So these are one of the things that the community should be doing, is to put a lot of pressure on the authorities to act decisively. And by being part of the structure, we are able to exert that pressure. That pressure must come from the public as a whole, and even from those in higher positions or those in positions of influence, all should use their power of influencing to lobby the government to improve the police services and to curb the scourge of crime.
Mufti Saab, you've given us a very holistic approach and covered the topic comprehensively. May Allah reward you abundantly. Jazakumullah khair for the insight on the topic. And we look forward to the program again next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Mufti Saab.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Mufti Zubair Bayat Saab, Daman Barakatu, Amir of Darul Ihsan, as well as the regular contributor on the Q&A program on Radio Islam, speaking to us about crime this morning.